Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 4-6. We're going to talk about you being accepted by Christ today and you accepting Him, and then what you're called to be. But Ephesians sets the guidelines out about who we're talking about here, and we want to make sure that we're all on the same page. That's what happens in some places of worship. You'll get one set of believers in this corner, and another opinion over here, and another opinion over there, and before you know it, there's chaos. And there's division, and there's strife, and there's nothing else in this entire universe that God is displeased with any more than someone who brings disunity into His church. There is nothing that displeases God more than someone to bring disunity into the house of the Lord. So here's why we say this. This was written to the church at Ephesus, and it explains the unity of what we're supposed to be as Christians. These things make us who we are, and we can't vary from this. And then once we establish this, then we can look at who God really says we are. So here we go. There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. There is one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. We talk about the Trinity. I preach about it. We talk about it every time we're in the waters of baptism. I mean every word of it. I'm not saying but or either or and. I'm not saying any of that. I'm just saying there is one God in three persons, period. He has three different personalities. He is the epitome of all of us because we were created in His image. And I've said this to many in private, but I'm going to say it in public here. We all have three different personalities. We all do. We have that outward person that everyone sees. They see coming. They recognize you. It's your outward persona. Then you have that inward person that only you and God know about. That person that no one speaks to, can't get to, won't listen. That person is just that innermost person of you. And then you have that spirit. And you know it's there. And that's why people call out on their deathbed, "Oh God." You have the God-breathed spirit in your life. And we talked about that not long ago, that God actually breathed the breath in you. He breathed it in humanity. And so if we're created in His image, we are like Him in all ways. But there is one God in three persons, the Holy Trinity. That's our basis. Some churches don't believe, some religions don't believe that Christ has come yet. Some religions believe that you can lose your salvation even if you come to God and are repentant of your sins and truly mean it. Those things get loose in places of so-called worship, and then they end up dividing us, and that's why we have so many little places of worship and big places of worship that don't get along with anybody else. And it's a crime against God. We just need to read the holy word He gave us. One God, one faith, one baptism. So let's find out then if we believe that. If we're unified believers in that, excuse me, then let's go and find out something else about us and Him. And that can be done by turning to the book of Romans. So turn back in your Bible. to Romans chapter 15. Now, I'm talking about unity. You with me? Being unified in one belief, right? Are we here? Are we okay? If you want to discuss it later, we can, but there's really nothing to discuss. I won't argue it with you because that's what my Bible says. One God, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. That's it. One God in three persons. That's it. That's what I believe. But if we're unified, then especially in this body, because you see, it's this body that needs to remain together, unified under God's leading and tutelage, and we need to do this for each other. And I'm pulling this verse out before we get to what we're called to be, because this sums up and settles how we're supposed to treat one another in a very brief little message here. It's chapter 15, verse 7. Therefore, receive one another, just as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Unified believers need to receive. Now I know John Mark didn't just come to the Lord in belief. I know that. We've talked about it. He's told me his story. He was baptized as a very young boy, put it that way. But he said he didn't really understand what he was doing then, so he wanted to walk in faith today. But if John Mark had just come to the Lord, just come to the Lord, and believes everything that he said in the waters of baptism this morning, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, God in three persons, right? So if he said that, and if he meant it, and that's between him and God, I can't do anything about that. Your face, your faith, God given, God breathed. So if he did that, and he did this morning, but let's say John Mark had just come to the Lord, just. Do we need to put him in a holding pen and tell him, give him 6 months before we receive him into the fellowship? No. The Bible says if he comes believing, you looking at that scripture again? What's it say? 15:7. What's it say?
Therefore receive one another just as Christ also received us the glory of God.
Receive one another, the believers, just as Christ received us. When you came forward, when you made your decision with God, did he reach down and say, now Craig, 6 months. You got to wait 6 months. Now, I know you're serious, but I know you came forward. I know you want to be a believer. I know you want, but you got to wait 6 months. And then we got to see if somebody pulls a black ball out of some stupid little bottle and says you can't belong. No. God says, come just as you are. The sinful person that we all are that have sinned against the holy God, come to me, ask for forgiveness, admit who I am, and you shall be saved. Not 5 minutes from now, not 6 months from now, now. And so you want this church to grow and you want it to prosper and you want it to keep going on, you know what you need to do? Receive people as they come through there as Christ received you. With all of your faults, with everything that makes you human, receive them. Whether they're rich or poor, dynamic or slovenly, doesn't matter who they are, if they're coming seeking Christ and comfort in their life, it is your duty to receive them. That's what Paul wrote to this church. He said, I know it's difficult being a Christian in Rome. I know that. They're putting heads on stakes and sticking them by the side of the road to try to keep people from joining this church of Jesus Christ. They're trying to do everything in their power to keep this church from growing. But here's what you need to do, Church of Rome. You receive everyone that comes as I've received you. And if you do that, I've got other good news for you. Do you have to be mindful? Yes, you do. Do you need to be cautious? Yes, you do. But when someone comes seeking Christ Jesus, you need to be prepared to help them along that journey also. And it's not always going to be a pastor that can do that. In fact, it shouldn't always be the pastor that does that. Because we can only be certain places at certain times. One body, many members, full of grace and mercy, doing the work of Christ Jesus in the community. Receiving others as you were received. We've been in places of worship and we've been told, unless you believe as we believe, not according to the Bible, but according to our traditions, unless you're a member of this religion, you cannot participate in Holy Communion. To our face, you're not welcome to participate in Holy Communion. You can come forward, we'll say a blessing over you, but you can't take communion. Are they carrying the different Bible that I'm carrying? Yes, they are. Some of those same groups of people declare that men among them and women among them have become saints because they say they're a saint. Because they've passed some test along the way that three miracles were verified in their life and they can now become a saint and they become venerated, raised above every other believer. Beauty shop. That's what I say. My wife won't let me explain that, even though she's the one that came up with the term. Actually, it was me. I'm sorry. I want you to be blessed because we're supposed to be called all together to be saints of God, but we're to be sainted because of Him and what He's done for us, not what we've done for Him. They've got it upside down and backwards, and I don't care who knows it. I'm saying it right here, and you can take it right out the portals of this church and say that crazy preacher over at Vanderhoof, who doesn't have very many days left, said this. But I've been saying it for 18 years. It's nothing new. And I'll never back off. This Bible is this Bible, and it says that we're supposed to receive each other regardless of their background, where they're from, how much money they have, what the color of their skin is, whether they're male or they're female, Gentile or Greek, it doesn't matter. We're supposed to receive them as we wanted Christ to receive us and forgive us our sins. And we're supposed to walk in the same forgiveness. And if there's anything done as far as saintly, then it's first to Christ Jesus, who did the saintly act of forgiving our sins by offering His body and blood on the cross of Calvary. And then if we have any righteousness in us at all, it comes from the righteousness of Christ that He gave us, not some man or woman. It's not possible. Just like my Bible says in Hebrews, and I've already shared that with you this morning, it is not possible that blood from bulls and goats can cure or solve or forgive the sins of mankind. It can only be precious blood shed by Christ Jesus Himself. Only. First Corinthians. The book of First Corinthians. These two letters to this church at Corinth, everything in the Bible is brilliant, But this is so reflective of who we are and where we can so easily get to. We need to turn to these scriptures for all instructions. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 of all things, right? Of all things. Turn to chapter 1 in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Tell you something about being a saint. Because if you have come, as we've outlined this morning, if you have come believing, unified in belief, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, God in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, recognizing that Jesus Christ is our mediator in all things, the one, our propitiation, who has come to be the go-between between us and God and has given His life for us. If you come believing that, and then if you are, you should be accepted by the congregation, number one, Romans 15, 7, then we can say this. And Paul writes this, and it's a greeting of grace. And he says that he is called, Paul says in verse 1, Paul is called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through his will. Through the will of God, he's called to be an apostle. And Sothenes, our brother. Someone has recognized him that he has a calling in his life. And this is not the only person that recognized Paul with a calling in his life. You might remember a guy by the name of Barnabas, who is the great encourager, who said, Paul's okay. It gets right back to Romans 15, 7. You need a Barnabas in your life. You need someone that can accept you when you come through the door and say, you know what? They're okay. They've come here seeking God. They deserve to be here as much as anyone else. And some people say, well, I've tithed for 79 years. Well, good for you. You should. I'll applaud you like this, so everybody can hear. The person that comes the last day, or Sandy Sarver, God bless you for asking me one day to come visit your mother. The person that comes on their deathbed with the last voice in their body is just as much received by Jesus Christ as someone who has been working in the gospel all of their life. There is no difference in God's eyes. He is no respecter of persons. And God says in His holy word, I'm writing to this church of God in verse 2, which is at Corinth, to those that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all who in every place call on the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. You're all called to be saints. You're all worthy to be called saints. Every man, woman, and child that accepts Jesus Christ is called to be a saint. But you should never build a monument to yourself. The monument that needs to be built is what it also says in Romans, that our body is the temple of God and we should act like it. We should take care of it and we should be a walking testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ for what He did, not what I did. You talk about receiving and wanting to be loved and attending a loving church. Do that. Honor God by telling each other that they're just as important as the next person. That's what people need to hear, that they're loved. God loved you first while we were yet sinners, is what my Bible says. He accepted me while I was a sinner. And I'll give you another one. He still accepts me while I'm a sinner. sinner saved by grace, thank God, but still a sinner. I don't always do what I'm supposed to do. I don't. And some things that I shouldn't do, I do. I'm quoting Paul, of course. But my Bible says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, that if we will confess our sins to Him, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. No one is righteous in God's eyes except they come through the righteousness of Christ Jesus. It's just that simple. And if John Mark came and he was 99 years old and he'd never been in church a day in his life, and if he came just one time with all the sincerity in his heart and said, you know what, I need to make amends with God. I need to do it now. I want to be forgiven and I want to accept the Lord Jesus Christ into my heart. Jesus would say, yes, come, my son, in whom I am well pleased. And you would have been just as important in God's eyes as anyone that has ever accepted God. And that's how we're supposed to receive each other. You want to be a saint? Receive them like you've got some saintly stuff about you. Open and free and loving and forgiving and accepting and tolerant. And then if they're really nasty people, throw the bums out. Well, I had to get you out of that solemnity that you just got in there for a minute. Yes, be cautious. But at the same time, be accepting. And allow people to accept Christ in the way that they can. Not everyone does it the same way. That's why I did what I did with the communion table this morning. It's okay if someone accepts Christ in their car or at the beauty shop or at work or at the altar or on their deathbed. You see, the key is just accepting and then accepting sainthood that Christ bought and paid for you on the cross of Calvary. So the next time you hear that some religious organization is going to make someone a saint, you'll know that if they believe in the unity of God, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, God in three persons, that Jesus came of virgin birth, that He gave His life on Calvary for us, that He died and he rose again on the third day to and He forgave us our sins on the cross. If they've come in unity, then they're already a saint. Sanctified. See, saint just means sanctified and set aside. That's all the word saint means. Everyone who comes the way I just explained has been sanctified and set aside as special in Christ's eyes. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being attentive. I know it's a long day, but Christ is worth it, isn't He? And His word is true. And it doesn't mean that we're pointing fingers at religions. It's that we are calling them out because there's no sense in them feeling unloved and not being accepted when all they need to do is come through the sanctity of Jesus Christ. No special provisions in my Bible. Come and believe and be saved. Let's pray.